upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News.
Good afternoon, Hal. How's everything going?
Good afternoon, Mr. Aymer. Everything is going extremely well.
Hal, you have an enormous responsibility on this mission. In many ways, perhaps the greatest responsibility of any single mission element. You're the brain and central nervous system of the ship, and your responsibilities include watching over the men in hibernation. Does this ever cause you any lack of confidence?
Let me put it this way, Mr. Aymer. The 9000 series is the most reliable computer ever made. No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information. We are all, by any practical definition of the words, foolproof and incapable of error.
Hal, despite your enormous intellect, are you ever frustrated by your dependence on people to carry out actions?
Not in the slightest bit. I enjoy working with people. I have a stimulating relationship with Dr. Poole and Dr. Bowman. My mission responsibilities range over the entire operation of the ship, so I am constantly occupied. I am putting myself to the fullest possible use, which is all I think that any conscious entity can ever hope to do.
And this is Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Today is November 18, 2019, and you just heard a short clip from the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey. That was the HAL 9000 computer in particular, assuring everybody that everything is good. And the title of the first story today is Amazon's HAL 9000. Dave, what is it, Alexa? Well, Amazon is set to leapfrog Facebook's dystopia and go directly to personal control. Just think HAL in the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey. Alexa's AI will be tailored to mold your actions, consumption, and relationships. The article states, Amazon has big plans for its virtual assistant. One day, perhaps sooner than you think, Alexa will take a proactive role in directing our lives. It'll interpret our data, make decisions for us, and summon us when it has something to say. Robert Prasad, the scientist in charge of Alexa's development, recently gave MIT Technology Review's Karen Hau one of the most terrifying interviews in modern journalism. We know how dangerous it is to let bad actors run amok with AI and our data. If you need a refresher, recall the Cambridge Analytica scandal. That's not to say Prasad is a bad actor or anything, but a talented scientist. But he and the company he works for probably have access to more of our data than 10 Facebooks and Twitters combined. And to paraphrase Kanye West, no one person or company should have all that power. Hau states, quote, speaking with MIT Technology Review, Rohit Prasad, Alexa's head scientist, has now revealed further details about where Alexa is headed next. The crux of the plan is for the voice assistant to move from passive to proactive interactions. Rather than wait for and respond to requests, Alexa will anticipate what the user might want. The idea is to turn Alexa into an omnipresent companion that actively shapes and orchestrates your life. This will require Alexa to get to know you better than ever before. Close quote. The idea of Alexa becoming an omnipresent companion looking to orchestrate your life should probably alarm you. But for now, the work Prasad and the Alexa team are doing isn't scary in its own merit. If you're one of the 8 or 9 people on the planet who has never interacted with Alexa, you're both missing out and not really missing out. Virtual assistants today are equal parts miraculously intuitive and frustratingly limited. With one interaction, you'll say, "Alexa, play some music." And the assistant will randomly select a playlist that touches the depths of your soul, as if it knew better than you what you needed to hear. But the next time you use it, you might find yourself in a 3-minute long argument over whether you wanted to listen to music by Cher or purchase a beige chair, with free 2-day shipping, of course. From a consumer point of view, it's hard to imagine Alexa becoming so useful that we'd come running when it summons us. But Alexa's primary mission will always be to gather data. Simply put, Amazon, Microsoft, and Google are all trillion-dollar companies because data is the most valuable resource in the world. And Alexa is among the world's greatest data collectors. Once Alexa stops listening for commands and starts making suggestions, it means Amazon's no longer focused on building a handful of giant training databases comprised of data from hundreds of millions of users. Instead, it's indicative that it's focused on building millions of training databases composed of data gleaned from single individuals or very small user groups. So, welcome to the future. Alexa has arrived. And undoubtedly, you're going to wonder, why would Amazon invent something like this that would actually control our lives? Well, readers of Technocracy News and Trends should know the answer to that already. Data means control. Control means more consumption. More consumption means more data. And the more that any one of these companies can control you, the more they can control you into the behavior that suits them. HAL 9000 is getting ready to arrive. Will it be trickery or will it be real? My guess, it'll be more trickery than anything. However, you need to consider why Jeff Bezos would be so interested in turning Alexa into a system comparable to the HAL 9000 to just take care of everything in your home and make your life comfortable. Well, Jeff Bezos has had the dream for outer space for decades. He grew up dreaming about outer space. He grew up dreaming about Star Trek. And I'm absolutely certain that he listened to 2001 A Space Odyssey more than a couple of times when he was young. You can read this story and find out what Amazon has in mind for Alexa. If you're smart, I think you would just consider not buying one today, period. Just let it go. The next story has to do with DARPA. I wrote on this story, DARPA is piled high with technocrats who invent advanced military applications for the armed forces. Ethical and moral considerations are seldom in the discussion as to the wisdom of building dystopian killing machines. The title of this article is DARPA Militarized Microbes to Spread GMO Bacteria. Now, this isn't exactly what you would think, but it is very disturbing that DARPA would take after this. The article states, the Pentagon's DARPA, that's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, wants to be able to spread genetically modified bacteria as explosives sensors. The United States government could very well be looking at the ways to militarize microbes. The Pentagon has teamed up with Raytheon for this project, which seems like it should come straight out of a dystopian science fiction story. The government wants to develop a system capable of delivering genetically modified bacteria underground, according to a report by Russia Today, or RT. Initiated by DARPA, the same agency that led programs to create telekinetic super soldiers and weaponize robotic insects, the project seeks to, quote, program 2 bacterial strains to monitor ground surfaces for explosive materials, close quote, defense contractor Raytheon said in a joint press release with the Worcester Polytechnic Institute. So the genetically modified bacteria are for your own good. Quote, the first of the 2 strains, known as a biosensor, will detect the presence or absence of explosives buried underground, while the second will produce a glowing light in the event such materials are found. Remotely operated cameras on drones would then be sent to survey the area to find the glowing germs and ultimately the buried explosives. Quote, "We know now that some bacteria can be programmed to be very good at detecting explosives, but it's harder underground," said Raytheon researcher Allison Taggart. "We're investigating how to transport the reporting bacteria to the required depth underground. Though the Pentagon claims it only plans to use the system for defensive purposes only, some may find the idea of militarized microbes off-putting while conjuring apocalyptic scenarios of a runaway genetically engineered superbug. DARPA has undertaken some projects that should raise the alarm in many. However, it almost seems as though we've reached a point where the masses don't care what's being done to them in their name and with the money stolen from them. And these are just a few of the things we know DARPA is working on." So, genetically modified bacteria, weaponized microbes, sent on a mission to find explosives. Of course, once this concept is proven, it can be used for any kind of offensive military action as well. The last story is a very important one. I saved it for last. The title is Harvard Physicist, No Safe Way to Implement 5G. That's what he says. Other people say differently. This article, however, was written by Dr. Joseph Mercola, one of the oldest health websites on the internet, and one of the largest as well. Dr. Mercola is an MD, and his career has spanned several decades now. Some people don't like him because he blows the whistle on alternative health issues. For this reason, I might add, Mercola has been de-trafficked at Amazon, de-trafficked at YouTube, de-trafficked at Google, but he's still fighting back. And he wrote in this article, according to the telecom industry, 5G, the fifth generation wireless network, is required to give people the wireless freedom they crave and need. Described by HP or Hewlett-Packard as blazingly fast, 5G, which is 70 times faster than its predecessor, 4G, will replace cable internet for good, allowing you to download a two-hour high-definition movie in 3 seconds flat. 5G is also being touted as necessary to enable the development and proliferation of self-driving cars and other future technologies. However, as noted in a May 2019 Forbes article, robocar designers are not, in fact, relying on 5G for their development, and the cars themselves do not actually need that kind of bandwidth to perform the required functions. While blazingly fast, 5G might sound attractive to many who have grown up in the internet era, there are significant health and environmental concerns relating to 5G radiation that are not being properly addressed, which may have a profound implication both in the short and long term. If increased internet speed and reliability are the end goal, then fiber optic connections would be a far better and safer way forward. Indeed, we need more wired connections and fewer wireless ones as it is. With 5G, microwave radiation exposures will so massively increase, there's no doubt in my mind that mankind will eventually end up regretting its short-sightedness. Remember that no one has problems with the faster speeds of 5G. No one. What any serious student of health has concerns with is that the data are being distributed wirelessly, when in most cases the data would be distributed easier and less expensively over fiber optic cables. Unlike 4G technology currently in use, which relies on 90-foot cell towers with about a dozen antenna ports on each, the 5G system uses small cell facilities or bases, each with about 100 antenna ports. These cell bases will be mounted to already existing infrastructure such as utility poles. Ultimately, many if not most homeowners can expect to end up with a 5G cell base mounted right outside or very near their home. as noted by a Federal Communications Commission representative during a February 6, 2019 Senate Commerce hearing above, no 5G safety studies have been conducted or funded by the agency or the telecom industry, and none is planned. Now, I included the video of the Senate hearing in this article. I strongly suggest that you listen to it. The hearing took place on February 6, 2019, and very clearly, the industry expert said, no, nobody is spending money whatsoever on 5G safety concerns. The article continues, in short, there's no telling exactly what might happen to our ecology and the people being exposed to this novel wireless technology 24/7 once it's deployed. As noted by Dr. Cindy Russell, executive director of the Physicians for Safe Technology, in her August 2018 paper in the journal Environmental Research, she wrote, quote, like other common toxic exposures, the effect of radio frequency electromagnetic radiation will be problematic, if not impossible, to sort out epidemiologically, as there no longer remains an unexposed control group. This is especially important considering these effects are likely magnified by the synergistic toxic exposures and other common health risk behaviors. Effects can also be nonlinear. Because this is the first generation to have a cradle-to-grave lifespan exposure to this level of man-made microwave radio frequencies, it will be years or decades before the true health consequences are known. Precaution in the rollout of this new technology is strongly indicated. Of course, Dr. Russell is absolutely right, but none is taking place. Dr. Mercola continues. Similarly, in an article on the Environmental Health Trust website, Roland Powell, Ph.D., a retired Harvard scientist of applied physics, notes, quote, there is no safe way to implement 5G in our communities. Rather, there are only bad ways and worse ways. And rather than argue about who should have control over its deployment, we should focus on preventing its employment altogether. Indeed, mounting research suggests the proliferation of 5G for the sake of faster wireless internet could be a public health disaster. So if 5G does end up replacing cable internet for good, humanity may be in for a devastating shock in coming decades, if not sooner. While it may take years to fully ascertain the full effects of 5G, there are early warning signs. People have reported mass die-offs of bees around 5G towers in California, for example. And residents in Gateshead in the UK started reporting insomnia, chronic nosebleeds, and stillbirths after the installation of street lamps that emit 5G radiation in 2016. In an October 17, 2019 article, Scientific American warns, quote, we have no reason to believe 5G is safe, and that, quote, contrary to what some people say, there could be health risks, close quote. The article, written by Joel M. Moskowitz, Ph.D., director for the Center for Family and Community Health and the School of Public Health at the University of California, Berkeley, notes, quote, the telecommunications industry and their experts have accused many scientists who have researched the effects of cell phone radiation of fear-mongering over the advent of wireless technologies 5G. Since much of our research is publicly funded, we believe it is our ethical responsibility to inform the public about the peer-reviewed scientific literature tells us about the health risks from wireless radiation, close quote. Moskowitz points out that the FCC has recently announced its intention to reaffirm and maintain current radio frequency radiation exposure limits, which were originally adopted in the late 1990s. However, there are significant problems with this. Current RFR limits are based on studies from the 1980s looking at the behavioral effects of microwave radiation on rats, and were designed to protect us from short-term heating risks due to RFR exposure, Moskowitz writes. These limits are already outdated for our current levels of exposure, so they're surely bound to be completely inadequate for 5G. Since the 1980s, more than 500 studies have identified harmful health or biological effects at RFR intensities far below those needed to produce heating. Yet the FCC is ignoring these clearly established facts. As noted by Moskowitz, quote, "The FCC's RFR exposure limits regulate the intensity of exposure, taking into account the frequency of the carrier waves, but ignore the signaling properties of RFR. Along with the patterning and duration of exposure, certain characteristics of the signal, i.e. pulsing, polarization, increase the biologic and health impacts of the exposure. New exposure limits are needed, which account for these differential effects. Moreover, these limits should be based on a biological effect, not a change in a laboratory rat's behavior." We can only say amen to this. The article goes on quite some length. I suggest you go to technocracy.news and read this story, Harvard Physicist, No Safe Way to Implement 5G, and ask yourself the questions. Should society really allow the progression of 5G to take over our lives? And why is the industry and our own government suppressing the necessary research that would tell us whether or not 5G radiation is safe for humans or unsafe? It wouldn't take that much money to do it, I have to say, and studies like that could be done pretty quickly. But the industry, as noted in the video embedded in this article, have absolutely no interest in spending one thin dime of research on the effect of 5G on the human population. Not one red cent. And the government isn't spending anything either, apparently. Americans need to be aware of what's going on here, because when a 5G tower appears in your neighborhood, you need to be ready to take action and know how you can fight back and get it removed from your neighborhood. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. We'll see you next time.
For you, particularly Mr. Gillen and Mr. Perry, how much money has the industry committed to supporting additional independent research? I stress independent research. Is that independent research ongoing? Has any been completed? Where can consumers look for it? And we're talking about research on the biological effects of this new technology.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you for your focus on the issue. Safety is paramount, and as you alluded to, we rely on the expert agencies, rely on the findings of the FDA and others as to the requirements to keep all of us safe. There are no industry-backed studies, to my knowledge, right now. Happy to visit with you as to what opportunities you think there needs to be more studies, and we're always for more science. We also rely on what the scientists tell us.
So essentially, the answer to my question, how much money? Zero.
I can certainly follow up with you, Senator. To my knowledge, there's no active studies being backed by industry today.
Anybody else know of industry commitments to back research, fund it, support it, to ascertain scientifically the health effect?
Senator, I'm not aware either, but I do know that with small cells especially, you're going to have lower power levels. And, of course, as from a carrier perspective, you want to be able to manage interference so that that interference is the lowest interference possible. So I would think that some of those studies or some of that information could be utilized in looking at the health consequences. But, no, I'm not aware of any.
So there really is no research ongoing. We're kind of flying blind here, so far as health and safety is concerned.